I'd like to welcome everyone to the regular session of our August 6th, 2024 City Council meeting. I'm Mayor Brian Horrocks. Welcome. Our first item is the pledge and thought or prayer from Tammy Clayton.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a thought today, and I just wondered or thought about how many of you, like we are engulfed and enthralled with the Olympics right now, and I find that I've probably not really wasted, but time watching them, and how awesome they are, and the team spirit that they have no matter what they do, and even when the United States doesn't place in the gold category, they still are supportive of those who do. And it says, the games embody the idea that a fully formed citizen develops character and skill that helps them interact with others in a way that makes for peace. This idea is called the Olympic spirit. And I found something today that I really thought was awesome, and so I'm going to share that with you. So I apologize for reading it, but I read it several times, and I can't give it up in my words without making it not sound good. So sometimes the world needs a Simone Biles to blow us away with raw talent, and sometimes we need someone like Stephen. I don't know how to say his last name, but you know who I'm talking about. To remind us that a nerdy, his words, spectacled engineer who can solve a Rubik's Cube in under 10 seconds can be a hero. Spoiler alert if you haven't watched the men's gymnastics. I love his story. When he didn't progress in gymnastics like he wanted to, he threw himself into one event he excelled at, the pommel horse. He's won all sorts of competitions as an event specialist and literally was put on the team because he scores so big on this one apparatus. During the team finals, he spent the day bringing his teammates water, giving high fives, and cheering on every performance with incredible enthusiasm, and then it was his turn. Stephen was the last athlete to compete on the team's last rotation. He needed to hit his routine for the Americans to end a 16-year medal drought. No pressure. He was a build-up right out of an iconic sports movie. Do you believe in miracles? Well, the pressure kept building in the gym. He meditated. A slight smile crept onto his face when he heard the cheers for his teammate's score. And then, just like Clark Kent turning into Superman, he took off his jacket, removed his glasses, and puffed out his chest, and he killed it. Stephen took an untraditional path to get to the pinnacle of his sport, and it paid off with an Olympic bronze medal. There is no one way to success, there is no one way to do this life, and there is no one way to find your purpose. But unapologetically and unabashedly, you in every way possible, and you might end up the hero of your story as well. Every member of the team had a role that day, and they all delivered. As I read that, I thought about the role that we each play in this room. Whether you're sitting in the citizens or residents or the city staff or a city council, we each play a part. And sometimes I feel like Stephen. I feel like when I take off the glasses, I can't see. And I have to read the agenda four or five times. And but I sit back and I listen, and the residents have trust in me and they voted me in. And that gives me a lot of confidence and a lot of determination to get it right. And I appreciate these people that sit here with me, and I listen to them, and I really appreciate you a lot. And I have a lot of Olympic spirit. And so I love the Olympics, and I feel like we can be together, and no matter what, if we sometimes don't hit the gold, we can get silver or bronze, or we participate and we give it our all. And as they raise the flag when we do get the gold, and they do the national anthem, there's a lot of pride in watching that flag raise. And I think that that is a pretty cool thing to watch. And so with that, if you'll just stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Tammy. Just on a note there, Linda and I went down to the 2:30 in the morning for the awarding of the 2034 And there was a lot of excitement, a lot of enthusiasm to bring the Olympics back. And 10 years seems like a long time, but it'll be here pretty quickly. And on another note, Jim Craig is the keynote speaker at this year's conference. And he was the goalie on the Miracle team of 1980. And if you haven't seen Miracle on Ice, Kurt Russell does a great Herb Brooks. So, all right. Next item is citizen comment. Is there anyone besides Dee willing to come forward? No, come on, Dee.
You have on here item number 6 that you're going to consider a contract with waste management or a waste removal company. I won't mention it beyond that. The last part of it where it says that it's mandatory for, in this contract, it'll be mandatory for all new residences to be required, mandatory, to participate in the recycling. Years ago, when we first started the recycling, there were many of them that opposed, some of them didn't. I have kept track of the last several years of our participation in not recycling through that, and I figure that if I were forced to participate, that it would cost me about $2.10 a week or whatever to recycle one toilet roll paper, maybe one paper roll out of the middle of a paper towel, and 4 milk cartons. I think that where a company's coming in and telling the city, we want you to force your residents to participate so that we can make more money, is not in the best interest of a lot of the residents of the city, because you're going to find that those who are on fixed budgets, anybody who happens to be over about 70, I would almost assure you 99% of them have that problem. We just went through a tripling of our cost for sewer, and I didn't see a tripling of my income or the income of a lot of the older people that I associate with. And I think that it's a bad precedent to let companies tell the city that you must force your people to pay us so that we can do nothing for you.
Thank you, Dee. We'll discuss that further, and some of these will come forward. Please come forward, state your name and address.
Hello, Matthew Damski, 175 East Ridgeline Way. My comment today is for the police department. I've emailed back and forth with the chief a couple of times about speeding on Eagle Ridge, and I've spoken, I think, once before about it as well. I haven't seen much activity as far as like speed enforcement. We have that speed sign that shows right at our entrance of our neighborhood that says, you know, when people are going too fast, and a lot of times people are going 45, 50 miles, you know, you watch it and you see it blinks and whatever. And I've called, and you know, for a little while, I think the chief had somebody come and do a little bit of enforcement, and I thought things calmed down for a little bit. But even on my way to the meeting tonight, someone in a Jaguar was right up my tail, because I'm following the rules. And you know, as I'm going through the circle and I go to make the right turn, I get the finger because I'm going too slow. And you know, to me, I don't know if the police needs something from the city to be able to conduct more enforcement. I noticed on my way to, I work downtown, when I get on Beck Street, Salt Lake City has a motorcycle unit that seems to be doing speed enforcement every single morning. That guy, I see him every morning. It's the same guy. He seems to be getting a lot of tickets out of people that are obviously, you know, 50 miles an hour on that road. I've talked to him once, he's getting people going 60, 70. I mean, that's too fast. And you know, it's pretty dangerous. And I went over to Orchard because my kids are starting to get ready towards school, and I'm trying to get into this one of their programs there as they're still young. She mentioned to me that we get bus service up on Eagle Ridge, and it's because the circle is considered a dangerous item, so kids can't walk to school because of that circle. And I believe it. That circle is pretty dangerous. People treat it like it's, you know, NASCAR, and whoever can get through first, you know, people cutting people off. And, you know, I just like to know that the police are trying their best to do whatever they can, or if they need things from the city, I hope they ask for it so that, you know, the city could be just a little bit safer and, you know, whatever. But I do see cops every now and then sitting over in the empty lot across from where they're building the Starbucks. I don't know if they're there because they're enforcing speeds or whatever, but it's nice to at least see them there because I think it makes people think twice about going fast. So appreciate you guys, and thank you for what you do for the city.
Thank you. My observation is that Salt Lake City is very happy to ticket Davis County residents coming into the city because they don't vote in Salt Lake City. But I think a lot of our traffic calming is designed to remind people and slow them down rather than raise revenues. But having gotten a few tickets going into Salt Lake City, they're happy to look out for Davis County residents coming in. Anyone else? Okay, let's move on. Our first item is a public hearing in consideration of Resolution 2024-28R, a resolution authorizing staff to execute a real estate purchase agreement for the sale of city-owned property located at 740 David Way. Ken?
Thank you, Mayor. We've discussed this property at least once in a closed session on May 21st. And if you want to advance the slide for me, Wendy, please. The property owner on this graphic of the lot that says 158, which is an address, is intending to build a home on that lot. And the city owns the property at 740. This property has lots of restrictions on it. It's not a usable piece of property for any building. And this property owner would like to own it so that they can beautify it, or at least, at the very least, maintain it in a condition that's better than the way that the city has maintained it. We haven't ignored it, but we're not doing anything to beautify it or make it look any better. So they approached us over a year ago. We've worked on this request for a long time. We have a proposed agreement. If you want to advance the next slide here. I just wanted to show the council. This is the property on the left. You're looking west towards the Great Salt Lake from kind of the upper portion of the property, maybe the middle upper portion. And on the right is the eastern view looking towards the mountains. So it's a long, narrow piece of property as shown on that map. If we go to the next one, please. And let's click again. So the owners, as I said, would like to combine their lot to have control over the property. They're willing to maintain it. This image that you're seeing is the image of their lot, so they'll be building a home closer to that home in the background of the image. They will not be doing above ground improvements. They may do a driveway, and if they do, we will have a geotechnical review and approval. The action tonight that's contemplated is that you would hold a public hearing on this proposed sale, and that you would then approve a resolution which authorizes us to enter into the real estate purchase agreement, which is attached to the resolution. The sale price, you may remember, is $15,000. It's reflective of the idea that this property really has no economic value to anybody. And so that's the proposal. And Mayor, I just recommend that before we take any action, we ought to hold the public hearing.
Ken, do we have any idea what they're proposing in the park strip?
We haven't had that discussion, so I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
I'm assuming they'll want to do some sort of improvement in the park strip.
So, Ken, do you need a motion to go into public hearing?
I think the mayor can just open a public hearing if he wants to.
All right, let's open the public hearing. Is there anyone here to address the purchase of this or the sale of this property? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing. Is there any further questions on this?
I have one. You know, we dispose of property under the that we've complied with the law, the 30-day notice or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just didn't pay close enough attention, but we have. Thank you.
Yes.
Do we have a motion on this resolution?
I'll make a motion. I move that the council approve resolution 2024-28R, authorizing the execution of a real estate purchase agreement for the sale of city-owned property at 740 David Way.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? I have this question just came up. I guess our city attorney can execute a real estate contract. Is that how we, because we don't go through a real estate agent?
Signing documents, I think this authorizes me to sign those documents on your behalf. The city attorney will have reviewed all the documents, including.
I guess in my world, you either have to have a broker's license or an attorney to execute these things, and we don't have a broker's license. But
I don't believe we have to have that.
You legally don't need it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Any further discussion? Let's start with Ted on a roll call.
Aye.
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 Oh, aye.
Thank you, Suzette. So that's 4 ayes and passes. Thank you. Next item is consideration of an appointment to the Health and Wellness Committee. And Elise is gone, so we'll turn it over to Ken.
Thank you, Mayor. This is normally, of course, Council Member Van Langeveld would introduce this item. This proposal is to appoint Jeff Skroger, who I believe you all know from our Health and Wellness or our Parks, Trails, Arts, and Open Space Committee. Parks and Arts Committee, PTAR. Did I get everybody? Okay. He has a desire to serve on the Health and Wellness Committee. We have a vacancy on that committee at present. I might make a suggestion as we consider this. As I was reviewing this material again today, the term that we're filling is a term left open by Chase Larson, who was on the committee for a short time, but it ends in January of 2025. And my suggestion might be that we appoint him to that term, but also the next term, which would end in January of 2029, rather than having to come back in 5 months and reappoint Jeff to this position. So the motion may not be written that way when you see the motion, but I think we could appoint him to seat number 3 to a term that ends in January of 2029. That would be as simple as that to make that change. Especially if that's okay with you.
Seems like a long time, but
I mean, I know he wants to serve more than 5 months.
I'll make the motion that the City Council approve the appointment of Jeff Skroger to the Health and Wellness Committee for his seat, and the term will be ending 1/1/2029.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor?
I'll just note that, say it before or after, but I'll just note that I think Jeff was a fantastic member of the Parks and Arts Committee, and he was a very effective chair as well. So I think he'll be terrific in this new assignment.
Since we have someone on the participating by phone, we do need to do roll call on all the motions tonight.
All right.
I'm sorry we didn't tell you that.
That's good to know. Okay, let's do roll call. Tammy?
Aye.
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 Thank you, Suzette. And that's Yes, thank you, Jeff, for your willingness to serve and continue to serve.
Does he want to say anything? That's all right.
Jeff, do you want to give us a speech?
Okay.
Okay. Next item is consideration of Resolution 2024-29R, a resolution adopting a proposed Wasatch Integrated Waste Management District opt-out recycle program requiring mandatory recycling for new residents. Ken?
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate Dee's comments tonight, and I believe it or not, you know, we share Dee's concerns about mandatory anything, right, as we consider the city's business. In this case, there's a little more to the explanation than just mandatory. We have we are a participant in a solid waste district which collects waste from 15 cities and at least two counties, and we are a member agency in that group. So all of our solid waste and recycling is picked up here in North Salt Lake, and it goes clear up to Wasatch Integrated Waste near Hill Air Force Base in Layton City for disposal. The district, and I think rightly so, has for many years had concerns about the solid waste stream, the life of the landfill, and generally about clean disposal of recyclable material, and so much so that they've invested millions of dollars in a recovery center, which has been in operation for some time now. And so this request tonight, or this resolution, is the result really of a long time, a lot of work to put a proposal together. It's gone through a lot of iterations. This district has representation from all of its public members in a board, and they have worked hard. Mayor Horrocks represents us in North Salt Lake on this board. Many mayors and other elected officials represent communities who have a stake in this question of recycling. So the proposal today, and there's a lot of history to this, is that the district has adopted a policy to incentivize their member communities to require recycling in different ways. And different communities have done this in different ways. The way that I believe we should proceed, and my recommendation, is to do an opt-out recycling program. That's a defined term, which I put in your materials for the meeting, and has a very specific definition. I've summarized it here, but it's curbside collection of recyclable material in 90 to 105 gallon containers, which is the garbage cans that you all have at your house. Today, North Salt Lake has a high participation rate in recycling. That is, 81.2% of our residents voluntarily have agreed to participate in recycling. We are on a voluntary program today, and because it's voluntary, we will no longer qualify for an incentive discount in the future. So the reason I'm bringing this forward is to ask the council whether or not you wish to adopt a new policy, which this resolution would do, which would make it from this time forward, on all new utility accounts, it would require both garbage and recycling. There would not be an opt-out for our residents who are new, who may not be here yet, but for folks who come in and establish a new account. As I said, the district offers a discount if we make recycling mandatory for all of our customers. The district has a goal of reducing the solid waste stream over time. As I said, it's invested in a recovery facility and machinery to recover recyclables. And there is some improvement in the life of the current landfill by improving our recycling rates, though that is not a very significant part of this. I thought it was worth mentioning. I reached out to the district today, and Colette West, who manages this program, among other things, and I've forgotten your title, I'm sorry.
That's
but
okay.
Sustainability specialist, yes, thank you. We had a discussion, and we're kind of estimating that we would have about a 60% savings. Now, she told me today when she came to the meeting that this might even be a little bit low because the discount would be on every garbage can, not just recycling cans. And if I say that wrong, you correct me.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Right now, the city has a total of 5,280 first cans and 1,505 second cans, so in solid waste. So that's the proposal. This is interesting information, I think, that I've taken from some of the district's materials, just to show you kind of the situation that occurs in other cities. And so there's a lot of information on this chart. Our data on here is a little bit different than what we think we know. They're showing us at 86%. We've really had a high recycling rate, but it does change over time because we add cans and add people. But you'll notice our surrounding communities, West Bountiful, Woods Cross, Centerville, they all have mandatory programs. And they're not all participating. Woods Cross, I'm sorry, West, am I reading that wrong? Oh, I guess they all do have higher rates than we do. Sorry, I was looking at that the wrong way. But in our city, we have not really pushed recycling. We haven't done a lot of public education on it. We've kind of taken a neutral position. I think lots of members of the public, depending on your age or where you grew up, you might have more loyalty to recycling or you might have less loyalty to recycling. And I think Dee has accurately said that he doesn't produce a lot of recycling, and so that we have a lot of residents in that situation that may not benefit or find it a cost benefit for them. The other thing I would mention about participation in this program: if we participate in the program, the district has a grant program where we can obtain a discount on the purchase of recycling containers. And so we'll learn more about that if we change our policy. The district will be doing an intensive education campaign. It will come from the district and not necessarily the city. Our recycling containers in the future, if we participate, will have some sticker material placed on the can that will tell people what they can recycle, what they shouldn't recycle, things like what they should put in the bin and not put in the bin. So I think there's a good effort here. I think the district is very well-meaning, even though there's been some political angst from different public agencies, perhaps I would say it that way. But I do think they're a good partner in North Salt Lake and a good steward of solid waste and recycling for our region. And I think the district really does care about how long the landfill lasts, even though that's a minor piece of this. And they do care about clean disposal of waste, and which we all ought to care about as well, without getting on a soapbox about recycling. I think this is the right move forward, and I would recommend that the City Council approve this resolution. This will not be retroactive to residents like Dee or others who have opted out. And so that gave me some comfort as I looked at the program. I thought that was a great compromise that we could actually kind of draw a line in the sand and say, okay, from here forward, we're going to do a different program, but we're not going to impose that on others who previously made a different choice about recycling. So that's our recommendation to the council. If you have questions, though, Colette is very knowledgeable. Yeah. She can answer.
I'm going to have Colette come up in a second. I just wanted to point out Woods Cross City has 100% participation because they made everyone. When we introduced recycling and we had our opt-out program, they said, nope, everyone has to do it. And so they have, as a city, 100% participation. And they're pretty proud of that. And I don't know how much backlash they got, but they're 100%. I told Colette one of her first jobs is to somehow convince the mayor of North Salt Lake to recycle. I opted out. I have one can. I raised six people in a house on one can. Empty nesters across the street have two cans and a recycle can, and I don't know what they... I have a mulcher mower. I just don't create that much waste, I guess. But I believe in recycling. I just haven't gotten on board myself yet. So anyway, Colette, would you like to come forward and say anything to us and reprimand the mayor?
Can I say something before you speak, just a second, about doing that? I think that when we got ours, I was a little skeptical myself, and now I love to fill the recycle can. I feel like I'm doing my part in saving the environment a little bit, and so I think if you tried, you'd find that there's a lot of things you can recycle that you don't realize that you can put. I have a extra can out my back, you know, like the garage door, and so I think that it's easier than you think, and so I actually really do like to recycle, which is funny.
My problem is I don't have anywhere to. I have to put cans inside my garage because I don't have a side, and so that was my yeah. Anyway, poor excuse maybe, but.
No, that's fine. Thank you guys for your time. I'm happy to kind of expand on some of what Ken was saying. And I want to applaud you, Mayor and resident, for not creating a lot of garbage. We love to see that. We've actually seen waste per resident actually increase in about the past 5 years. Probably we kind of think because of the Amazon effect, DoorDash effect, things like that. We want to get that moving the other way along with
Colette,
more recycling.
Sorry, can you just introduce yourself and who you're with. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. So my name is Colette West. I'm the sustainability specialist for Wasatch Integrated. My role is to help expand recycling access throughout the district and help with recycling education. Those are my main roles right now. And so with the recycling program and incentive, North Salt Lake has actually done a really great job actually getting to 82% without any type of requirement of paying for a bin for new move-ins. I think it's really awesome that you guys are already at 82%. So I think it'll be a really easy transition moving forward. As for the grant, we're working with the Recycling Partnership. They're a nonprofit organization helping to expand access to recycling throughout the U.S. And we've received a grant from them. And if you guys want to consider receiving some money from this partnership, then you kind of would do another run at putting some more carts on the ground. It wouldn't just kind of be a slow as you add carts. It's within the next year. So if you guys wanted to do another run at another opt-out, you definitely could qualify that. Or it would be $10 per cart for any new carts that if North Salt Lake were to purchase. So if you wanted to do another campaign, hey, we're going to roll out more cans to about that 20% that doesn't have a can. Still keep it opt out. They're able to opt out within that certain time frame. You're still able to qualify for that grant. Maybe get your numbers up to 95%. But regardless, if you just have it required or mandated moving forward for new move-ins, the city qualifies for the diversion incentive. So you guys are how it works is the percent diverted out of the garbage can essentially. You get that percent off of the household use fee. So right now, North Salt Lake is about just under 10% diverting through the recycling can. might not seem like a lot, recyclables don't weigh a lot, and that's kind of the only metric that we have to measure waste. So, but by volume, it saves space definitely in landfill in that aspect as well. Through education, we believe we can get that number up to 15%, as well as growing participation. As North Salt Lake gets closer to 100% participation, that percent diverted from the garbage can will increase. And we're also working on expanding our green waste program. I know we're not really talking about that right now, but that's another thing North Salt Lake could consider in the future as well, which will green waste weighs a lot, so that will also get a lot of more waste diverted out of the garbage stream by weight. So hopefully that kind of clarifies a couple points there. If you guys have any other questions, I'm happy to answer.
I have a question. Where are the 24,000 locations without recycling? Where are those located?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we have 5 cities in our district without any city-sponsored programs. So I believe those are Fruit Heights, South Weber, Clinton, Morgan City and County. I think I'm missing one more. But those are, so they have 0 city-sponsored or county-sponsored program. They're all looking like they're going to move forward with something within the next year, which is great, and they're qualifying for that recycling partnership grant as well. And then we're looking at getting some of these cities like Layton City and Clearfield and Sunset that are kind of between 30 and 50%, getting them up to numbers like, you know, the cities in the south end of the district, you know, 80% plus.
And then what is the difference in the utility bill? And this might be a Ken question for those that are not doing recycle and those that are?
Yeah, that's a great question. We've kind of got quotes from different haulers and kind of seen what all cities are paying depending on participation. With cities who get up to, you know, 90 plus percent, they're paying between $3 and $5 a month, depending on where the city's located. But Ken could answer this question for what specifically North Salt Lake residents are paying.
So our residents right now are paying $6.65 a month for a recycle can. They pay $16.87 a month for a solid waste garbage can. Whether it's a first or a second can is the same. And we have not discussed, one thing we've not discussed, and I don't know if this was part of your question, Councilmember Jackson, is if we receive a discount, does that get passed on to the resident or the customer? And I think my recommendation would be that we evaluate the discount and live with the discount for a few months or maybe a year, maybe the remainder of this fiscal year, and then we reevaluate it in the budget for next year and see where we are. But I don't think any of us, and I don't think even Colette, she can estimate a discount, but I don't think we would be ready today to say, let's drop our rate a certain amount because we're gonna for sure get a certain discount. I think we monitor that for a while and then make a decision in the future, so.
But so the potential is a potential 60-cent discount for everyone, but around 20% of the small percentage of new residents, so it wouldn't be 20%, would have an additional $6 on their monthly utility.
So that's correct. So new customers would be charged the recycle rate of $6.65 and would receive a recycle can whether they wished to have it or not. It would.
How often do we raise these rates? Did you say it's been 5 years?
So no, it hasn't been that long. We did not raise rates this year, and we bring rate increases to you as we project that the enterprise fund for solid waste requires a rate change. Mm-hmm. And so we have made some periodic rate adjustments recently. It hasn't been 5 years, but we did not do one this year.
Another question on the green waste. Are you sort of implying, like, you're incentivizing the idea that if we increased recycling that green waste will be a side benefit?
Yeah, so for this diversion incentive, any city who has a opt-out to mandatory or bundled a recycling program qualifies for the incentive, and any city with a green waste program qualifies for incentive. And most of our cities, the green waste is all optional. So it just rolled out. They just rolled them out to every household, and then people opted out or whatever. They get about 50% participation. So, and any of those qualify, because keeping any organics out of the landfill is great. Saves a lot of space, prevents a lot of methane from being generated.
I do have to voice my concern, not on this program, and I know Dee could answer, he could beat me by 10, but when I first moved into North Salt Lake around 20 years ago, my North Salt Lake monthly bill was $33, and then it quickly jumped to $60, and then I remember when it made a big jump up to 100. I'm now just shy of $200 a month for my North Salt Lake City bill. And so I do have to express the concern that every little part of that that goes up seems small in and of itself, but it does compound. And again, we have residents that are on fixed incomes, residents that are feeling the natural economy pinch, that wages are going down and costs of everything are going up. And so I'm hesitant to make anything from government mandatory. And I'm also hesitant to potentially increase city rates on just yet another service when the benefit would probably be no larger than like a 5% jump in reality, with new builds being the only mandatory or new residents. So I do kind of err with D there on that. I don't like mandatory and I don't like tax increases, just to voice my concerns there.
And I would agree with that. That's why I was pleased that we didn't just adopt a pure mandatory, someone moving into our city in the future won't have an option, but we're not impacting anybody today to do anything different unless they want to.
I think if we had a choice, which we don't have, which was keep the system you've got and get a discount, I'd probably pick that. But we don't have that. And so I think that the options in front of us, when I look at them, and I can sort of look at them pragmatically, and I could sort of look at them from a societal benefit, and they both lean to the same one, which is to go with this, to go with the mandatory recycling. So if you just look at the cost savings calculus for the 85% that are getting this, you're holding harmless the 15% of existing residents. So there might be some percentage of new residents that wouldn't want to do this, maybe. I mean, I assume there's some percentage, but it's gonna tend to be a small percentage, and it's just of the new residents. So just like the sheer, savings versus not saving comes out pretty clear on that side. And then we all eventually pay for high resource usage in one way, shape, or form or another. One direct way is the life cycle of the landfill. But, energy costs, I don't know this, and maybe Colette, you can get at this, but I don't know how much energy we save in recycling, not really sure, but on some level, it's reducing our resource usage as a society. And, I cannot not vote for this personally. It's just, this is the easiest vote I will have had probably in a few months, but I understand why somebody might vote against it. But I think that, you know, sort of the let people choose what they want to do kind of aspect, I get the logic. That's why I said, look, if we could keep our system and get a discount, I'd probably go with that. But because that's not on the table, I think this is pretty easy in my view.
If it's new residents that are getting this as a mandatory, can we take the word mandatory out of it so that it is included in what they get as being a resident? And it's not mandatory, it's just included. Because other people, it's optional for them, but this is just as part of a benefit. I don't know, does mandatory have to be included? Because then it's just part of their, part of being North Salt Lake resident.
Yeah.
Then it doesn't sound as harsh.
I agree with you.
Yeah, it can be viewed just as part of the waste service. All of Salt Lake County is, or at least Salt Lake City, sorry, they have completely bundled like Woods Cross. It's just one line, waste services. But if you want, I mean, I'm happy to come in and give you a long presentation on all the benefits of recycling and the energy and natural resource savings. But if you're kind of wondering, okay, well, why are they making us do mandatory required moving forward? It's really because we saw some cities have a big subscription slip with it being optional. So Clearfield and Sunset are a really good example. Sunset's down to 30% and Clearfield's down to 50%. Both of them were much higher. Clearfield rolled out an opt-out mandatory program, was at 70-80%, dropped down. And really, it just doesn't have that big of an impact when you only have 50% of residents diverting. It's only going to be 3-5% diverted from the waste stream compared to 80-100. You get a lot more diverted from the garbage.
Well, and I have a question. I don't question the benefits of recycling, but it sounds to me like we have to be classified as a mandatory city in order to get that savings. And also my fear is if we have a 6-cent savings, so it's not a clear savings in my mind, $33,000, the chances of us dropping everyone's bill by 6 cents probably isn't worth the paper and the accounting cost that it would take. And I don't think anyone would get very excited about that. So in reality, that $33,000 would probably eventually just get absorbed into the city budget and no one would ever really be the wiser or benefiting as far as an individual. However, my guess is that Layton City and Sunset and Clearfield dropped because there are a lot of people that are trying to cut $6+ off their bill. That's how tight it's getting for so many people putting groceries on credit card. I really worry about inching up. I rarely see ever a bill drop from government. Once it's gone up, the chances of it going down is nil. So that is just a concern, not about recycling. Love recycling, just the monetary part of this whole system.
Candy, do you have a...
So just quickly, it's 60 cents a can per month, and not to correct you, council member, but...
Thank you.
And the other thing I think this could do, I think the council will have a decision in the future whether you want to pass savings on to customers or you want to, perhaps it's a way to defer future increases so it keeps it prevents the situation that Council Member Jackson is referring to where the bill just incrementally goes up all the time. It puts that off into the future. Those are some of the choices that you'll have as you consider this if you move forward with the program.
Thanks, Kent. Dee has something you'd like to add.
Since my name has been brought up several times, I'm not against recycling. In fact, I'm 100% for it. And I feel that there are three things that we have in the recycling system out there. We have garbage, we have garden waste or green waste or whatever, and we have plastic recyclables or cans or whatever, those things are all included in that can now. If the recycling companies would say, we will charge you so much per tippage, in other words, if I put out a can once a month because that's all the garbage I collect and it's not stinking or whatever, and I pay, say, $2 a can, that would fit in greatly with what I wanted. Recently, North Salt Lake changed the water structure so that we now have a flat fee that covers the infrastructure, and then we have a water usage. I think that encourages people very much to conserve, to cut waste and whatever. I think if we had an opportunity that, you know, I would just love to have a blue can out there that I could put my four bottles in a week and maybe every 2 months dump it, because it's not going to cost me anything to have the can sitting there. But I think that paying $6 a month to dump 12 bottles is an awfully expensive thing for me. And when I look at a lot of other elderly people, and I put myself in that category somewhat, I haven't had a pay increase except 2% last year, and everything else has gone up 50 and 60% in spite of what the government says. They use funny money and I don't. But I think that it would be very easy, and it's a technology that already exists that is, they came around to recycle, pick up the recycler, whatever, they counted whatever can was there and said, all right, we dumped your can and this is what it is. And if we got billed that way, I'm sure that 90% of the people say, great, let's go mandatory. The problem I have is that a lot of people like you, I have no recycling green. I take care of it all myself. I have no recycling cardboard. I take it up to the school. The only thing I put in my garbage can that's really recyclable, as I said earlier, is one or two of the cardboard inserts of toilet paper or some other tissue or whatever. And my newspapers are all recycled. I don't put them in there either. And I just have milk bottles. And so as far as I'm concerned, you know, if these new people moving in, yes, it's new people and us old guys, we get an advantage, but I don't think that's fair either to the new people moving in. But I'd really like to see something where we pay for what we use or what we waste.
Today, the technology doesn't exist to bill that way. Maybe in the future, they'll put chips in garbage cans and be able to bill directly like that. As Dee brought up inflation in our government, they are eliminating coffee now from the consumer price index because coffee went up a lot, and so they didn't want that to affect inflation numbers, so they're cutting it out, along with gasoline and food and other things that they've already eliminated. I guess I'd like to just say from a board member here, the management of this facility is outstanding. And they have foresight. They're looking out ahead and they're saying, our costs are going to jump dramatically unless we do some things now. And they're diverting things now and shipping it off to Timbuktu. And that costs a lot of money, but they're trying to ease into this. But when that latent landfill is full, our costs are going to jump dramatically. And
right, yeah.
And, you know, we could be like Social Security and kick it down the road, or the federal deficit and kick it down the road, and it's somebody else's problem 10 years from now. But they're trying to address it, and they're trying to say, let's get a handle on this. Let's do things we should be doing today so that we're not paying dearly tomorrow. And so I applaud that. And
maybe this is tangential too, but it occurs to me that this is kind of a really great time, an important time in recycling but for maybe for one additional slightly less obvious reason, which is just that there's so many goods shipped to our homes in boxes. Oh, yeah. It's just, you know, I'm filling up my recycle bin with that kind of stuff, and we cannot wait for the next recycle day to come because it's always full. And I don't consider our household like a wasteful household. So it just seems like, you know, the need for recycling and for reducing that demands on infill on our landfill is just like, it's just so acute right now. So,
Colette, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, maybe one thing, just, I know a lot of residents already have a can in North Salt Lake, but for maybe new move-ins that would maybe normally have two garbage cans because they have a family of five or six, having just a first garbage can and a recycling can is cheaper than having two garbage cans. Or a resident, you know, maybe they want to sign up and switch out that new or that second garbage can, they'll end up, their waste services will actually be cheaper. And we're going to send out a bunch of educational material this fall to all North Salt Lake residents that already have a recycling can. And we're going to get that sticker with our signage of what goes in the can, what doesn't. And we're going to get some, you know, educational material in the home. We've also been working a lot on our social media and our website. So we have a really nice recycling education page on our website now. So really trying to connect with the residents, because I've already met so many people working this job that, you know, didn't know like tin cans could go in a recycling bin, like really simple things. So it's really important.
Pizza boxes. No, you can put pizza boxes in recycling.
Yes, you can. Yeah, there's like a lot of,
okay.
Yeah, there are a lot of controversial items as well. So, or if it's really greasy, you can rip off the top, throw in the top. And we're continually trying to upgrade our facility. We're upgrading it in September to capture a lot more cardboard and paper and sell that to the market. We're going to continue to do that, maybe try and upgrade to collect more plastics, things like that. So we're always trying to improve our operations, recycle more material. So we're doing a lot of work, and we're happy to give you guys a tour of our MRF anytime and show you guys some of the education material we're doing as well. So, but thank you guys so much for your time and considering this.
Mayor, I'll make a motion if you're ready for that.
I think we're ready.
I move that the City Council approve Resolution 2024-29R, adopting the opt-out recycling program as described in the Wasatch Integrated Waste Management District ordinances.
Second.
Thank you. I have a motion and second. Any further discussion? Let's do roll call, starting with Ted.
Aye.
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 Thank you. That motion passes. And thank you, Colette and Ken, for that. Okay, next item is consideration of a bid award for sidewalk condition inventory to Precision Concrete Cutters in the amount of $350 per sidewalk mile. John, and I did notice on that land sale that one of the squares of the sidewalk needed to be replaced.
I did notice that as well, too. So, yeah, we wanted to get a better idea of what the condition of our sidewalks were out there so we can start to build that more into our future capital projects and the budgets coming up. So what this study will do is it will identify like the repairable trip hazards. We've used this company before to do surveying and also to repair these trip hazards. They can cut down trip hazards from 1/2 inch to like 2 inches so that they meet like the ADA specs. And then this survey will also inventory places that need a replacement where sidewalks busted up. Such as that place on David Way, or in need of repair because it's cracked so bad. So the study will give these coordinates, like a GPS coordinate, and identify all these hazards and give us photos of the places that need to be replaced. So we estimate that we have about 90 plus miles of sidewalk from just some of the rough calculations we've done. So that would be about $31,500 for this project, you know, estimating that off of 90 miles of sidewalk. But if we have a little bit more, we wanted to bid it out as the per sidewalk mile. So this is just an example of the data we get. This is from one of the latest projects they did for us down in Foxborough near the elementary school. You can see on the left all the geolocations, and then they provide a table with all the data from those locations that you can match up with the pins to see the trip hazards and stuff that were corrected. So like I say, we'll use this data to plan a sustainable CFP, and this budget or this survey was included in the budget for this year for the 24-25 budget. So with that, if you have any questions.
I've got a couple. Do we do this in-house or do we hire out?
As far as the sidewalk,
like concrete cutting or?
We usually hire this out because the equipment that we have, we can take a bump off, but it doesn't meet the ADA specs, and they have proprietary equipment that they can cut these down smooth.
And I guess the second part of that is, I assume cutting the concrete is cheaper than injecting the mud and raising it? Is that?
Yes, it's a lot cheaper.
Okay. Any other questions on this? Motion?
I'll make a motion. I move that the City Council award Precision Concrete Cutting the bid to survey all concrete sidewalks throughout the city for $350 per sidewalk mile.
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Let's start with Tammy.
Aye.
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 Thank you, Suzette.
All right.
Thank you, John. That passes. Next item is consideration of an engagement service letter with Child Richard CPA and advisors for the 2024 fiscal year external audit service.
Thank you. We are required to have an external audit of our finances every year per the Uniform Fiscal Procedures Act. We have used this firm since 2009. This is an engagement request for the fiscal year that just completed, so July 1, 2023 through June 30th, 2024, with an amount not to exceed $30,000. I did receive some questions today from a council member regarding our history with this firm as well as past pricing. Looked back to 2018, where we paid about $22,400 for our audit services at that time. So over the years, we've had about a 33% increase. I would say much of that is related to a change in the scope as we've done more capital projects, hired more folks. We definitely have more financial transactions, which would relate and tie to that increased expenditure, but would also recommend as best practice that the audit committee assemble this fall and work on an RFP to put out early next spring to have this these services bid out for the next audit period. Were there any questions about the engagement letter?
I was just going to say, Charles Richards seems to do everyone's audit. They almost a monopoly, at least in Davis County. But I think they do a good job. I'm sure they're competitive.
I would anticipate that if we were to put out an RFP that they would respond and be part of that response, and that we might craft the RFP in such a way that it's based on scoring criteria rather than lowest responsive bidder, just so that we can increase our chances to potentially bring in a new auditor. This is an auditor for the City Council, the elected officials. They oversee the work that I do, so the audit committee really should be the ones making the final decision on who gets hired to perform that function.
Any just further questions or comments?
I appreciate this information and clarification to us. One thing that I think that that my understanding is it's often a good idea to cycle through an audit firm, so it's not always the same firm over and over. It keeps the review process fresh. And as you say, the city itself, you as a staff or finance person, can't make that decision. We will. And I will pay close attention when the time comes to figure out if we'll be using them the next time. But I would appreciate it if we did sort of an analysis for the audit committee that says, okay, what is the going rate? Why is it so high? Why does it continue to be $30,000 to audit a city? That's a concern that I have.
And part of it may be, again, because it's required of us, we're just stuck accepting, you know, and
exactly. But it's, you know, we may just not, we don't every year kick the can down the road with the same agency,
sure,
or whatever, because
sure,
that's the way it's done. So
yeah.
I think it'll be helpful for us to look at it more closely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But in that in mind, I move the City Council approve the engagement of the firm Child Richards to conduct the city's fiscal year 2024 external audit in an amount not to exceed $30,000. And just to clarify, this is for the year 2023 to 2024. The next audit will be for 2024-2025, and we could have a different firm. Okay?
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Any further discussion? Let's start with Ted.
Aye.
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 Thank you, and thank you, Heidi.
Thank you.
Karen. Next item is consideration of awarding Nancy Way Waterline Project to Tomco Inc.
So I'm going to do a little background, but I'll move quickly and hopefully it will be helpful. So the original Lacey Way emergency waterline repair happened over the winter between 2021 and 2022. You can see the dark asphalt patch in the middle of the road. These are one of those beloved AC pipes. It blew up what felt like 17 times. But it once it starts, it moves down, and 10 feet later it blew again, and 20 feet later it blew again. So in the summer of 2022, we went in to do the Lacey Way waterline and street reconstruction. You can see in this photograph from 350 East up to that first intersection, we had the waterline installed and the asphalt done. Due to the difficulty of working in this road, the unavailability of as-built drawings, we didn't know where the waterline was, we had no tracer wire, it moved slowly, winter hit, and the upper section of the road, we have that waterline patch again where we were unable to finish the street reconstruction. So in 2023, we finished the asphalt and we got Lacey Way completed all the way to the intersection of Nancy Way. This was the plan for the summer of 2024. It was part of our CFP. It is in the plan budget for the waterline and in the CFP for this year for the street as well. And the waterline blew in Gary Way. This is actually the Nancy Way waterline. If you see where the blue line comes up Nancy and ties into Gary Way, it was this line that's dark blue, this area, where the waterline blew in Gary Way, but it was the Nancy Way waterline. So this was a lot of excitement. And then we got a company to come in on about 2 or 3 days' notice. I was able to find a waterline contractor to come in and do an emergency replacement, because what we found was that the waterline in Gary Way, although all of our maps say they are PVC pipe, they are in fact AC pipe. And so they came in and did the replacement up Fox Hill before we put the new asphalt down. And that top left picture is one of the Public Works employees and one of the private waterline company employees. What happened is the day before they did the tie-in, that same AC pipe blew a second time. And if you see, you can see the guys in the hole right here. If you look on the very right-hand side of the screen, the top is the piece of waterline that blew out the first break. and the bottom is the piece of water line that blew out on the second break. These are very large chunks of pipe. Nobody touched the pipe. There was no activity in the area. It just had reached failure. So this is the revised plan for the known AC locations. So coming down Fox Hill in the top left, that dashed dark blue line is the new PVC pipe that has already been installed. It then turns, tees, and is stubbed down into Nancy so that the new asphalt section would not, of course, be cut again for the tie-in. The line coming down Nancy, which is that dark blue, was always planned to be done. But what we found with the AC pipe going along Gary to the south, it's a little complicated. There's about four or five of kind of the turquoise blue lines coming up Nancy into Gary. Those are individual services that go to the houses along Gary Way that were put in. We knew that there were a few. We found them during these waterline breaks. There are more than we thought. We need to tie those services into pipe that is not AC, because if we hook new services to it, we think it's going to blow again. So what we're going to do is add another 200 feet of PVC pipe along Gary. We will patch that waterline trench. But Nancy will have an entirely new water line and new services. And then there at the bottom where it ties in at Lacey Way, we've added an additional 50 feet because that map says that is PVC pipe, and we are now convinced it is AC. So we did some exploratory work. We need that connection to run in as straight on as possible to preserve that water line until the next series of work. So I asked for bids from everybody I've ever worked with and anybody they could recommend and all of their friends and family. And what we got was Tonko, who's done a lot of work for us in the past, including the first emergency Lacey Way waterline job over the winter, was done by Tonko. Tonko's the only one who's available to come in and do it. This company does a lot of work for us. And we'll call and say, hey, we have a problem with the storm drain, and they'll come in and do those repairs. We highly recommend working with them. The total price they gave us in that bid was $99,417 for this waterline work. The budget that's remaining from the original Lacey Way waterline was $30,000. And as presented in that CFP plan last spring, we will need a future budget amendment to do this additional work for this water line. Please note that the original 200 feet of HDPE pipe installation has now become 200 feet of HDPE pipe, 250 feet of PVC, additional services, and those tie-ins to the AC pipe. So this is not the amount of money we thought we would be paying, but the per linear foot price that Tonko gave us is actually slightly less than the price we got in 2021 from the contractor who did the Lacey Way waterline work. So it's really well priced. Are there any questions?
No questions, but I do want to say something. You're amazing with this stuff because I drive on the streets, and I don't think I ever thought about these things until I have been sitting in the seat. And the extra 200 feet of water line because of what you did with your homework to hopefully it won't break, right. Amazing. And I know those people that live on that street, and they were grateful for the fast response that you had up there and all the people. And so just thanks. You know, I am just commend you all for what you do and for being careful with the city's money. You know, we look at all the amounts and it looks like a lot, but it's not that you look at it and you spend it unwisely. You do your homework. So thank you. Much appreciated.
I love getting change back from my $100,000 too.
I just want to second what Tammy said. I feel like we can't say it enough, but thank you for always being so, so fiscally responsible and so good at your jobs, whether it's public works, middle of the night, or Karen and her brilliance with all things water pipe, roads, etc. I really am always continually impressed with all of you, really. So thank you. Thanks, Karen.
I will second that, third that. I had a small group of primary children, including one from my class, taking a tour before this meeting of the police department and the city council. And as we were down towards Karen's office, Linda came out of her office, and she said something that I had thought about a lot but had kind of forgotten. But our water system is very complex because of the hill. And between pumps and pressure-reducing valves and all that, and Karen has a great sense of every moving part, and most parts aren't supposed to move, and she has a good sense of that too. So thank you, and I can't even imagine going out in the middle of the night, in the middle of the winter, on a broken pipe and trying to work in that those conditions, and they do it all the time and do a great job. So
okay, I move.
I'll just say it. Amen.
Amen. I move that the City Council award the Nancy Way Waterline Project to Tonko Inc. for the price of $99,417, with the knowledge that we're going to have to amend our budget.
I'll second it.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Let's start with Tammy.
Aye.
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 Thank you. That passes.
If I could, I would just like to say really briefly, I don't know if you're all aware of the extraordinary work the Public Works guys did on those waterline breaks, both of them. So if you're not aware, they showed up quickly. They worked nonstop for over 24 hours. And it was very, very good work by our crews. So.
And water was back on much faster than we thought it was going to be.
Yes.
I know that.
Thanks for saying that.
Yeah. Thank you.
It made the value of their trading cards go up, I think, actually. I was hoping we could get some of those.
All right. Next item is consideration of addition of the rebuild to Nancy Way and 150 North.
So this is slightly unusual. In this year's capital facilities plan, we had a combined, different projects are laid out for natural congruency, roads touch, or they're all in the same neighborhood. And then we'll take another set of project that's budgeted for the same year, and we'll combine them for bid, because quantity of scale gets us a lower price per square yard for new asphalt if we do all of the roads under one contract. These two contracts were not part of that because they're not just street resurfacing. There was a waterline component as well. And the intent had been to potentially bid Nancy Way for the waterline and the street, or some one of our more traditional kinds of projects. 150 North is a street that the Public Works crew is doing the waterline installation on. So the existing contract with BHI is for Cynthia Way, Dorothea Way, 4000 South. This has already been approved by City Council. They're going to begin milling early next week. The concrete work's in place. What we'd like to do is add to this same contract both Nancy Way and 150 North as a full asphalt replacement. So the Nancy Way that's shown in yellow, please note it will also include the patching on Gary Way and Lacey Way for that PVC pipe that was not originally planned. And then 150 North, this is the location along the north side of the new Hatch Park. And the waterline crew is about two-thirds of the way down the road installing that main line right now. And we'll have this the waterline complete, and then we'll do the road. So the idea here is that we bid this a long time ago, in this construction season. I mean, April was a long time ago to me. But that the bid price, the way the bid prices are, it's per square yard of asphalt remover, per ton of asphalt. And if we just increase the contract under those same bid prices, those prices are going to be substantially less expensive than bidding something this type of the year in such small quantities, because these are not large streets. So Nancy Way, again, that AC pipe. The reason we're doing 150 North, you haven't heard a lot about cast iron pipe. This particular water line has had many, many breaks. And that cast iron pipe, of course, kind of rusts in the ground and wears out. In this location, we've been limping along, waiting and hopeful that we could get the hatch part going because we're going to be removing all of the services on the south side of the road. We don't want to attach them to the new pipe. So now that we're going, both of these are those waterline replacements. So the existing contracts for a little over $316,000, the cost of both streets, I know that the agenda item was a little misleading, and I apologize I wasn't more clear. The cost of both Nancy and 150 North together is just under $99,000. It's $98,890.55. In the existing project budget for the street rebuilds, we had $360,000. The 150 North has $110,000 already in the approved budget. The cost of the asphalt is not that full amount. Some of that will be for concrete replacement on the south side. We need to remove driver approaches before we repave. And then the Nancy Way is in the fiscal year 25 CFP. It's in the books you guys got with the project lists, but it is not included in the budget. Because when we realized that we needed to carry that forward, Heidi had already done all of the budget preparation for the hearing. So it will require a future budget amendment. The total combined cost will be $415. We'll have a total combined existing budget of about $470. And there will be, of course, some concrete work that is not included in this. But we're very happy that all of them came in below what we estimated back in the early spring. Are there any questions?
Thank you. Motion?
I move that the City Council authorize adding the Nancy Way and 150 North Street resurfacing projects to the 2024 street rebuild project contract with BHI Incorporated at the line item bid price of $98,890.55.
I'll second it.
Thank you. Let's start with Tammy.
Aye.
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 Thank you. That passes. Thank you. Okay. Hey, I had a quick question on the sidewalk repair. Does that just come out of the roads budget?
That'll come out of our streets budget, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It seems to me that sidewalk piece was really important. Because as a city, if we don't repair those, even the Utah Local Government Trust has informed us that we have liability with those sidewalks. It's really important to get those fixed.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And we've talked in bits and pieces about sidewalk conditions throughout the city. And so I appreciate the support from the council. This contract is in response to a much larger project, which will include putting all of our sidewalk repairs on a schedule so that not only do we know where the worst ones are, but we can move to get them fixed quicker and remove those hazards for the public, because we do have accidents on our sidewalks.
Okay. Let's go back and pick up the work session items that we didn't get to. Next is the city attorney report.
Nothing tonight, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Mayor's report. Most of the meetings I attend were canceled in July, but I had a couple of things I wanted to bring out. I did have a social event Friday night at the golf course, and the deck is the absolute highlight of that place. We were out as soon as about 8 o'clock when the temperature dropped a little bit. We were all out on the deck, and that's an amazing facility. Thursday, we have our night out against crime. And I also have another meeting that night, so I may be there for just a short time, but that's a great event, if you can come to that. I played for the second year in a row. I played in a fundraiser golf tournament for the Bountiful football team. And my kids gave me a hard time about my Bountiful football t-shirt that I was wearing. But half our city goes to Bountiful. And I'm pleased to report that they last year were in the second, made it to the second round of the state playoffs. And they have almost their entire team back this year. So they're expecting big, big year at Bountiful High School. I've spent a lot of time in the last couple of weeks thinking about Liberty Fest. And my conclusion, I got mad. And my conclusion is, let's throw some security people right in the middle of that group with tasers. Okay, maybe not tasers, but let's not back down. Let's make sure we're there, and let's regain the high ground. And that's my thought. And then I put tree removal, and I have no idea what that's in reference to. So I don't remember what that was. So that's all I have. City manager's report?
Yeah, I was going to mention Thursday night's activities at Legacy Park, the night against crime. Thank you for mentioning that, Mayor. It's also combined, as we've done in the last 3 years, with the Health and Wellness Fair. So we have, the Health and Wellness Committee has invited healthcare providers and others, including the health department, to have a presence at this Health and Wellness Fair. So it's a great event for lots of people. And Mitch, you'll be there cooking hot dogs, right? You and your crew. So yeah, and you might see a dog right there chase a person with a big suit on. That's always fun.
Yeah, we're looking for volunteers from the council.
Six to eight.
To have the dog attack them.
5:30.
Okay, that's. I think that's it. Do we have anything else? Motion to adjourn?
Second.
Or first.
Yeah. So moved.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everyone. We're adjourned.